Let's start with Romans chapter 1. Now this is speaking of all the Gentile nations outside the Jews. We're starting with verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, right? And their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. This is speaking of increased decadence several times through the chapter. But one of the first things it says, neither were they thankful. They did not give thanks to God. A major cause of decadence is not being thankful. Knowing God, not glorifying, nor giving thanks to him. Now, I may be thinking in terms of King James, the God who gives endurance, this is 15, I'm thinking King James, it tells us that with our heart, we give praise to God, giving thanks to his name. That giving thanks to God is a primary means of praising God, a primary means of worshiping God is giving thanks to God. This condemnation about neither were they thankful could be leveled at many, maybe most Christians. I have a friend on the coast who is in despair all the time. He calls me every few days in great despair. And the other day, I told him I didn't want to hear any more calls from him until he started giving thanks to God. He called me the next day and gave me a whole list of reasons to be thankful. I said, well, keep it up. Keep it up. And this little book here, Thankfulness and Confession by Brad Schilke. Well, it's a wonderful book. And he speaks of a fellow named Pat. And I know Pat. Every time I get to Logan, Utah, he's in the bookstore. And I've known him for years. I don't think you've ever seen him smile. Everything down. Talked to him in counseling many times. Well, I didn't know this, but Brad has prayed with him every day, thanking God, and finally gave Pat a little card of four things to thank God for, and told him to thank God for these things every day, which he did. Pretty soon he wanted another card. Brad gave him another card for thanks, giving thanks. In addition, Brad was thanking God with him for the things all the time. The fellow was always down. This went on for years. But the fellow began thanking God for more and more, and no longer depressed, smiles, talks to people. So Brad made a little card for other people to get. And we got an email back from somebody how the person came out of depression thanking God. They give an assignment to people and say, go through the first two chapters of Ephesians and thank God for everything you have in Jesus Christ. And people started thanking God for everything they have in Jesus Christ. And they came out of their depression. I think there were probably 45 things or something like that in the first two chapters of what we have in Jesus Christ. Well, this is experiential and practiced. Well, in the meantime, the fellow who wrote the booklet, having been teaching these other people to thank God, got colon cancer. And he just about died three different times. Not from the operation, but from an infection after the operation. And then he almost died from the chemo. And then he almost died from a staph infection. But he had been practicing thanking God with this depressed person. So in this Mormon hospital, all this time, who's in the point of death, he was thanking God, witnessing, and the Mormon nurses couldn't understand it. He's got a Muslim physician, he's got a Jewish physician. They can't understand it. I made a special trip down there with him, for him, during this time. And against the advice of Ray, I said, no. I had the confidence that God had healed him. This is having been close to death three times. So every time I talked to him, I said, what's the report? Well, apparently there's a little flag in your blood that indicates whether you got cancer or not. And it's been lower than all of us who don't have cancer for a long time. I encouraged him not to take any more chemo, and he didn't, and he's been doing well. Wrote this book on thankfulness and confession, and of course it trained him to be thankful during this time. It's not exciting, it's just effective. See, he has this little bookmark, suggested things to thank God for. We thank God once a year at Thanksgiving time. We know God gets thanked once a year. But all of the things we've got to thank for, our creation, our redemption, our life in Christ, our country, our health, our food, our wealth, all kinds of things, the Word of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's a major means of worshiping God. But, I'm going to get to the next thing, it's a major means of getting prayers answered. We found out the other day that belief is one of the conditions for getting answered prayer. Well, if you thank God for the answered prayer, is that an expression of belief? Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. You make your request with thanksgiving. On the 1st of January, 1954, it was a Sunday morning, I was at Mount Hermon at a Bible conference that I put together, and it was joint conference with the InterVarsity staff. And Sunday morning, we had a common worship service, and the speaker was a German theological student, and he had a heavy accent. It sort of turned me off. And then he said he was going to speak on Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which I had memorized several years before, and I thought I knew Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I said, oh boy, the theology student's going to speak on something I already know. I'm just going to not pay much attention to this Sunday morning service. Well, he started out by saying, how many of you make your request known unto God? Everybody raised their hands. He said, how many of you have your request answered by God? Everybody raised their hands. How many of you thank God when he answers your request? Everybody raised their hands. And he said, how many don't thank God until he answers their requests? Just hit me like a ton of bricks. Really shook me up. I thought, well, that's wonderful. He's where it says, make your request with thanksgiving. It doesn't say make your request and thank him when you get it. It says, thank you when you make your request. So, I was rejoicing, but I had to pay the bills for the conference because I had set it up. Everybody had gone. I got the bills paid, walked up back up the mountain, and I saw one of the fellows with a hit up on his car. Everybody else had gone, and he had a 48 Studebaker. And I went over to see what he's doing. The hood was up, and it had been raining pitchforks all weekend. And there's a little puddle of water around each spark plug, a straight six. And they no hood no cover on the spark plugs. So he was attempting to dry out these spark plugs. Well, we finally came to the conclusion we weren't going to get to do it, so the car was parked into a parking space into the trees on the side of the mountain. So the two of us decided we'd push the car backwards up the mountain. He'd jump in, crank it around real fast, and take off down the mountain. like this. So we did that, and he jumped in and took off down the mountain out of gear. I thought, well, I'm glad he's a pilot. I wouldn't want to be driving this car down this mountain. So I went over to my car. It was a 48 Nash, and no puddle around the spark plugs, but it wouldn't start. You didn't have the key. You had a starter button, and the button was underneath the clutch, so you couldn't start in gear. You'd push the clutch down and push the button. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I pushed the button, and finally, I was the last one there at the conference, as far as I knew. Douglas was 6 months old, not quite. They were in the cabin out of the rain. So when the car was just like making no noise out of the battery, I said, God, what are you trying to teach me? I've got to get back to Monterey. And the verse voice, well, what did you learn this morning? You make your request with thanksgiving. Oh, wonderful. So I thank God for starting the car. I stepped on the starter and nothing happened. I said, God, I'm sorry. I was just plugging the formula. But I really do thank you. I really believe that I'm making my request with thanksgiving. And I thank you for starting the car. And I'm not just plugging the formula. I'm thankful. Stepped on the starter and it roared into life. Bessie and Douglas got in the car, drove down the mountain, and I saw Roy walking toward me. His car was parked maybe 50 yards away. So he came up to the car, and I said, Roy, I'll give you a push. He said, don't bother. He said, my car's going. And I said, guess how I got mine started? In a superior way. He said, I know. He said, you thank the Lord. It took me 30 minutes to think of it, too. Okay, now, thanksgiving is very, very high on the priorities. It's nocturne cause decadence. Thanking God is a form of praise to God. Thanking Him is a means of getting prayers answered. It's to thank God when you make the request is two things. You're praying in the will of God, and it takes belief to thank God. When you thank God, it's a believing prayer. We've just got unlimited things to thank God for, and we don't. There are things we already have, much less the things we're praying for that we can thank God for. Do you know many hymns besides Thanksgiving hymns that are thanking God? They're joining one section of the hymnal, and we turn to that at Thanksgiving. Well, do any of you have your own hymnal? In your quiet time, if you don't know the tune, just read the words. And sometimes you say, these are silly words, but sometimes they're just great words.